Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worcester Culture Watch, a podcast connecting you with the local culture scene in Worcester. Arts, entertainment, music, and more.
Worcester Culture Watch from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Hello and welcome to Worcester Culture Watch on Telegram.com. I'm Victor Infante, entertainment editor for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Later on in the program, I'll be talking with reporter Richard Duckett. We're going to be talking about movies, so that'll be fun. But first, I'm here with reporter Craig Seaman. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Victor. How are you today?
Doing good, but we are in concert season coming up here.
Yes, the summer season has officially started, and we had a big Pentatonix show. That happened over the weekend, and that's the first and only show at the DCU Center. But there's plenty of shows in the area for people to enjoy.
Yeah, well, I want to get back to the local scene a little bit more, but give us an overview of the big shows that are coming
up. I mean, there's no science to this, obviously. And some of these shows I wouldn't be caught dead at, but these are shows that I've picked as...
You know, some of those shows end up really spectacularly fun. They really
Well, these are definitely the high-profile shows, whether they're good or bad. I mean, okay. And as I've always say, a good sign of a review, maybe you agree with me on this, is someone who can give a lousy review to someone they love and give a great review to someone that they love.
This is true.
And the example I always use for that is first time I reviewed Bon Jovi. I couldn't care particularly for the guy's music at all. However, he put on a dynamite show, pulled all the stops, gave everything the audience wanted, high energy. And that was probably 25-plus years ago. So
There we go. All right, so what's coming up here?
Okay, so the first one I have in the They're All Gonna Laugh at You category, you have Adam Sandler, June 19th at the Xfinity Center in Mansfield. So what can we expect from Sandler's first stand-up special? He hasn't been on tour for a long time. He just had in October had a stand-up special on Netflix called 100% Fresh. He just made a triumphant return on SNL last month, hosting the show for the first time since being fired as a castmate in 95. And he's doing 18 dates in June for his 100% Fresher comedy tour. So what can we expect? I'm gathering plenty of silly voices, silly characters, silly songs, and silly reminders why Sandler has made over $4 billion at the box office.
I have trouble believing that Adam Sandler can sell out the Xfinity Center. I honestly do. That just seems a bit out of, especially since he seems his star's on the decline.
Curious.
He's made a lot of money, but his last few movies have not done particularly well.
And certainly the Saturday Night Live host job he did, which was actually a pretty good job.
That was actually pretty funny. I was fired song was hilarious.
And I gave a nice tribute to Chris Farley, and he had a nice sketch making fun of some of his good and bad movies.
It's true.
And I mean, that was pretty much like a 90-minute infomercial.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do well. Will he sell out the place? Who knows? The tickets are actually pretty pricey, I think.
Yeah, usually, you know, these concert movie tickets, they knock the prices down a little. But anyway.
But we'll see. Nostalgia's there. It's a hit or miss. I mean, if you're a Sandler's fan, I'm sure you're going to...
I'm sure. And he does have a lot of fans. I'll get
He definitely has.
But I would have thought more DCU centered than size wise.
And actually, Infinity. You know what would be cool, although it's not going to happen? That Billy, he comes out dressed up as Billy Madison for the Bruins game.
Yeah, I suspect all of those are going to be gone.
So, in the old man Logan, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling along category. We have Hugh Jackman, June 27th at the TD Garden, which to me is the wackiest show.
First off, that was a long way to go for that joke, man.
Especially when I don't have a singing voice.
Yeah, the thing is, Hugh Jackman is an amazing singer. He's an amazing performer. He's a great Broadway actor. He is a great stage performer. So yeah, this actually sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, but as I wrote in the paper, I can't imagine anyone who's a huge fan of Hugh Jackman's dead-on performance of Wolverine in the series X-Men films has ever thought to themselves and say, gee, wouldn't it be cool if Logan sang Arthur's theme or I Honestly Love You? And in case there are, you got the Hugh Jackman, the man, the music, the mutant.
I think the man has layers as a performer. Clearly. No,
I mean he's likable, he's lovable.
But this is more the Les Miserables fan than we're talking X-Men fans.
I mean, it's totally all that. I mean, he's gonna do selections from Pete Allen, The Boys from Oz, Oklahoma, Les Mis, Beauty and the Beast, stuff like that.
I do wish those were a little bit more contemporary numbers.
Yeah,
there.
And he's going to be soon to be the smooth-talking con man, Harold Hill, in the Broadway revival Music Man. So it's going to be definitely that stuff. If people are expecting him to do Wolverine stuff.
I don't think anybody's under illusions unless they are really in a really, really like stuck in a basement somewhere. But yeah, no, I do want to know. It's like I was rolling my eyes at Oklahoma, but Oklahoma just won Tony Awards.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the revival.
Ali Stroker just won the Tony Award for.
It's amazing how what's old is new again.
Exactly. So maybe I should like stop rolling my eyes and give things a chance. Anyways. Moving right along.
But the funny thing is about when you watch the Tonys, unless you're really a Broadway theater guy, you feel like this is a totally different world. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the things that are winning. And I think the year before you had SpongeBob SquarePants against a Frozen musical.
Oh, exactly.
I'm like, what is
it? But Hadestown, written by longtime Boston folky Anais Mitchell. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a great singer-songwriter. The original album she put out of that, actually, she recorded, I believe it was at the Somerville Theater.
Oh, okay.
And it had her, Greg Brown, Ani DiFranco.
Oh, wow.
Just Chris Delmarsh, I believe Chris was on that. Amazing collection of singer-songwriters playing the music that she wrote that eventually became Hadestown, the musical. There's an album of it. I have it. It's on one of my regular plays, actually. It's a great album.
It's amazing.
I'm really excited to someday eventually see the show.
And on the same night as Hugh Jackman, we have another beloved movie star who's going to take a stab at commanding the musical stage, and that's Jeff Goldblum.
Well, Jeff Goldblum, again, that man puts on a stage show.
I mean, he tickles the ivories. He's an accomplished pianist.
Oh yeah,
and we an evening. And actually, I am seeing this one. I chose between Jeff Goldblum over Hugh Jackman. Hopefully, Hugh won't get too upset. And I'm gonna see, and that's at the Wilbur the same night. So that should be interesting. In the boy bands of summer category, we have New Kids on the Block. The Mixtape Tour, June 28th and 29th at the TD Garden, and July 3rd at Mohegan Sun Arena. Backstreet Boys DNA World Tour, August 14th at the TD Garden, and Jonas Brothers Happiness Begins Tour.
Okay, they're at least contemporary. I don't know, man. Do we need the Backstreet Boys again?
I mean,
I don't want to discredit how difficult those vocals are. I have a friend who sings studio work, and he's one of the best singers I know.
Yeah,
and he told me that doing work on boy band albums was some of the hardest work he's ever done because those harmonies are insane. Those harmonies are brilliant. To do that live, to be choreographed dance routines. Great to have the presence to hold an audience like that, but I don't know, man. Jonas Brothers I can buy because they're contemporary. They still have an audience that's like for fresh, and they're still putting out fresh music.
Yeah.
There's some things I'm just a little wary of I'm dubious on this.
Yeah, but ones. I mean, it's definitely going to, the soccer moms are going to definitely come out.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I'm still amazed at all these
they're
years.
They're entitled. They can have it.
We're still talking about them. But, and as you said, yeah, the Jonas Brothers who. Joe married Sophie Turner, as you know, last month. Sansa Stark and Jean Grey in the new X-Men movie. So they're actually doing stuff, but yeah, no interest here on my part on that either. No. Never has been.
Nope.
Closer to home in the Come to My Tour Bus Window category, we have Melissa Etheridge.
Okay, now we're at somewhere I think we're all on the same
Indian
page.
Ranch, yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know Melissa Etheridge, shame on you, but she's a true rock and roll spirit. And she has a raspy, weather-beaten, straight-from-the-heartland voice that has always set her apart from other female artists. Definitely worth catching her. She has a new disc coming out, which I haven't heard yet. I'm not even sure if it's out yet. And Indian Ranch is a great venue to see anybody. There's not a bad scene in the place, and if it's a beautiful day, which it usually is, you can't beat it. So that's before I wrote my big list that appeared in the paper a couple Sundays back.
I think it was Sunday.
Cheap Trick added a show. Which is a big deal.
I actually kind of have a soft spot for Cheap Trick.
Oh, same here. How can you not?
Yeah, it's like, okay, what do they sound like now? But I'm interested.
I saw them open up for, I think it was Aerosmith 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, not that long ago.
At the Garden. Okay. And Robin Zander still has the voice.
Okay.
Doesn't have the hair he used to, but he still
has
the voice.
That's fine.
And the guitarist there is still always a hoot up. Whose name is escaping from me.
I don't remember.
They're still fun. And they got so many great songs. And it's one of those shows that you're like, well, I know every one of these songs and they're great.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, they are a classic band. So, yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested.
In the Luca Brasi Sleeps with the Fishes category, we have Fish. July 5th and 6th at Fenway Park in Boston.
And that is going to be a big, fun show, and they will sell that out, no problem.
And July 9th and 10th at Mohegan Sun. So you got them 4 days.
I'm actually disappointed in them on this one because they're not here. they have traditionally done, you know, their tours 2 or 3 nights at the DCU Center.
Yeah, they have done that. I mean, Fenway is a big venue for them, and as you said, they... I mean, they're pretty much the Pearl Jam or the Den & Company show. The Den & Company is actually doing Gillette this year for the first time. Those will be big shows for Fish fans. Yeah. And Mohegan probably threw the money at them.
There you go.
But, I mean, talk about this. Fish at Fenway, which probably holds 50,000, I think.
Something like that, yeah. I'm bad with those numbers.
Because you're using the field. 50,000 plus, and compared to Mohegan, which is 10,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a, those shows, and I'm sure there'll be enough people to see all four of the shows.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Now, the show of the year.
It'll probably actually be the same people at most of the shows.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. I mean, I had a bad experience reviewing the Fish concert one time at the DCU Center. And because I had all these Fish fans come out afterwards complaining that I gave them too good of a review. I have never, only time in my life I've ever been accused of giving too good of a review.
I had a good experience reviewing Fish, actually. I got a lot of really, my favorite letter, though, I got about that was from somebody who said, your review is very... well written and coherent, which means you weren't stoned while you wrote it, which means you were missing an entire whole aspect of the show. And I'm like, man, this is a family newspaper. I'm not getting stoned and reviewing Fish. Sorry. Sorry. There are lines that I have to stay on.
I mean, it's funny because Fish heads, I think that they're, and Deadheads, they're very passionate about their music.
They are.
And SMR. And I found deadheads more accommodating telling a reviewer like one of ourselves what a song was than the Fish people. Because I remember when I reviewed the Dead at the Centrum, I think the second song, people next to me are like, oh my God, they haven't played this song since September 12th, 1965.
Yeah.
I'm like, why am I here? I don't know. I mean, it was a fun show, but the show of the year, without question, for good or bad, is the Rolling Stones. This is undisputed must-see tour of the summer for many reasons. First, they are the world's greatest rock and roll band, by none. I heard a little grumble there. Second, with the Stones all in their 70s, Mick Jagger, 75, Keith Richards, 75, Charlie Watts, 78, Ronnie Wood, 72, and Jagger's recent health scare and subsequent heart operation, this could be the last time, maybe the last time to see the Stones. I don't know. And third.
Long way to go for that joke, man.
And third. From I Can't Get No Satisfaction and Sympathy for the Devil, from Street Fighter Man to Shattered, and I'm only talking to S's, they still got the best rock and roll category out there. And last but not least, not only does the Rolling Stones frontman get the moves like Jagger, he is Mick Jagger. So this is a show to see. If you've never seen the Stones, you definitely got to see them.
Yeah, and I'm not going to debate their history or their catalog, because obviously those are phenomenal. I'm going to quote a music critic that worked here some time ago, before my time. Well, I mean, he was here but when I was here, but in a different job. Who missed the great John Fraser?
Okay, John, yes.
Who said that the Rolling Stones you see these days are the world's greatest Rolling Stones cover band. I understand your people's desire to see them. I'm sure they still put on a great show. It's been a long time for me, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I get uncomfortable. I really do. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's this sort of trapped in a bubble of around 1979 to 80 for that nobody has let this band escape. Yeah, it's great music. Obviously, it's great music. Exile on Main Street, Some Girls, great albums. You know, whatever, all of them.
Sticky Fingers.
Yeah, great albums. But you know, there is this point where it's like I don't know if seeing a bunch of 70-year-old musicians, one of which was recently seriously hospitalized, playing this sort of music, there's a point where I think, are we doing them a favor?
Well, I mean,
they have the money. They don't need about, to do
well,
this.
Talk about dedication. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
And you're right. They do not need the money. I saw them maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the last time they played around their 50 and over tour, whatever they call it, referring to 50 years in the business. And I was amazed how great they sound. And
I believe they sound great.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm amazed that they're actually still touring.
I think I'm actually more annoyed with the size of these shows than I am with anything else, because that is music, and this was something John pointed out a long time ago.
Yeah.
That these is music that was designed to be played in a bar.
They're originally a blues band,
and we're never going to get that experience again, ever. You know, so no. I don't know. I understand if people want to spend the $3,000-$6,000 it takes to buy these tickets.
Isn't
now
that much?
I don't know. It's a lot. That's a lot. It's ridiculous. And I especially understand that this probably is your last chance to see the Rolling Stones.
I can't imagine you will have many more chances. I
mean, but man, there's a part of me that is kind of like, yeah, just let it go, man. I don't know. I'm cynical.
That's fine.
You know, people want to ask why rock and roll.
You have seen them.
A long time ago, yeah.
I mean, don't you agree that if you've never seen them and
yes,
you want to see them, you got to see them?
Yeah, I just not
no
sure.
No matter what it is. Maybe nosebleed seats, whatever, yeah. Because I'm sure they'll have a big jumbotron. But I mean,
yeah.
You're not going to.
Which is like watching it on TV. But yeah, I don't know that. I think
you know, if like people want to ask why rock and roll has lost all of its popularity, I think we're seeing this a generation's clutch on forcing these artists into these like time capsules is part of it because you know it's like I don't know, I find it a turnoff. That's just me. I'm a cynical sort.
No, it's a valid point. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how the show's actually go.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Who knows? It could be a train wreck.
I doubt it. It's going to be fine. These people know what they're doing. They can do this show in their sleep.
I can't imagine any... Well, we won't get too much into this, but any doctor in the right mind said, "Hey, Mick, this is a good idea."
No, I can't believe
it's like
that
happened. It does take 2 days off, and call me in the morning.
I do. I think what I want to get is, because I really do feel like I was in danger of sounding ageist there, and I don't want to. I don't think we allow these musicians to grow old gracefully.
And well, I think it has a little to do with also the fact that the music is so good.
It is so good.
In most cases, like I saw John Fogerty recently, who's in his 70s too, I believe, and he sounded fabulous.
But he's not trying to do the show the same way as he did. Well, maybe he is, because it wasn't actually that flashy of a show back in the 60s.
I mean, and you know, he had all those scuttlebutts with his band on rights and fantasy.
Whatever,
record.
Yeah.
I mean, all those great songs.
Yeah.
And he still sounds great. And it's funny because his son's one of the guitarists.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, you see... But it's like, I think really the one for me is David Bowie, because he's the one that really did grow old gracefully.
Yeah. Actually, we almost didn't have a chance to see him grow up.
Yeah, exactly. But he became a mature artist at the end and put out some of his stylistically best work at the end, after, you know, which is amazing. And I really want to give...
Yeah. It would have been nice to see him on tour with the last album.
Yeah, but yeah, we didn't get a chance for that one.
It would have been bizarre, but as we've discussed, when I listened to that on, I think it was a Saturday night, I knew something was up, and I think he died Sunday.
Oh, man.
And then I wrote the review on it on Monday. It was like a very strange
experience. Yeah, I remember that. I remember trying to put those sections together.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
And... to move on, because we can talk about the Stones.
Oh, we can.
In the Scaramouche, will you do the Fandango category? We have Queen and Adam Lambert, the Rhapsody Tour, August 4th, Xfinity Center, Mansfield. As I said in the paper, it's a great time to be Freddie Mercury. Too bad he's dead. It's even a greater time to be American Idol Season 8 runner-up Adam Lambert. After the soaring success of Academy Award-winning blockbuster Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen is more popular than ever, and they really are. It's amazing how people are just scooping up the records every way they can find them. And cashing in on this is Lambert, inheriting Mercury's flamboyant frontman status, plus Queen's original guitarist and drummer Brian May and Roger Taylor, both of who have been there since the very beginning. Why there will never be another Freddie Mercury... Lambert can sing.
Yeah, Lambert's a fantastic singer.
Yeah, and any reason to hear these great songs, again, is a good one. So,
yeah, there is that.
And I believe that show sold out real quick, probably the quickest sellout since he's been in the Queen thing. And just lastly, taking a momentary breather from the Las Vegas residency, Aerosmith. The Bad Boys from Boston, the best rock band to hail from the Bay State, and arguably the best rock band to hail from America. We won't get a big argument about that.
Not around here, we won't.
is bringing their Deuces Are Wild show home, and its promises not to be the same old song and dance. So that's happening, doing 4 dates, August 21st, 24th, 26th, 28th, at the Mass Mutual Center in Springfield in connection with MGM Springfield.
Interesting. And they're doing it out there, not in Boston. So they must have thrown a lot of money.
Yeah, I think MGM really has a big... Well, I mean, they got the big straight casino money again, straight behold the Las Vegas Springfield connection. And I've also seen that announced yesterday. So the Eagles are doing a... MGM Las Vegas residency doing Hotel California in its entirety who knows, maybe they'll come to Springfield. Oh,
yeah.
If people care.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And it's interesting. Of course, you know, I don't, you know, people wondered if Springfield was going to be competition for the DCU Center and for shows here in
Worcester. I mean, the shows have been few and far between.
Yeah. I mean, we are still, of course, and for reasons that you've gotten into before in print and on this podcast, you know, we are seeing fewer and fewer major acts at the DCU Center. We see if we have a pretty good run of them at, of maybe tier below that at the Hanover, but.
Yeah, and most of the shows we get are during the spring months. As you know, you saw Michael Bublé, Luke Combs.
Luke Combs was here. That was a good, that was a big show.
Yeah, I think he did two sold shows or
something like that. I can't.
And so and Bublé sold out. So I mean,
yeah, that was a good and that was a good show.
Yeah, Michael Bublé is always fun to watch, and it seems that when during those months when the TD Gardens has both the Bruins and Celtics in full swing, we have a trickle effect and we get some of the better shows that happen. Bublé's done two shows here in recent years during those months. And like Carrie Underwood did two shows during those months of some of the more higher profile. But for the DCU Center, Old Habits Die Hard, we don't have another show until October 21st. And that's Ghost, which is going to be a hoot of a show.
Yeah.
But
that's a long ways away though.
Yeah, that's a long time
away. Is that October 21st? Is that tied to Rock and Shock or?
It's not, I don't think. I think Rock and Shock might be actually Rock and Shock's the week before then.
Okay, so we might be seeing another show coming out.
We could. Rock and Shock.
We haven't seen the schedule for that yet.
Yeah, I mean usually they do more of a Palladium thing. Although one time they did the
Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie.
Alice Cooper thing. But Rockland, just looking at the numbers at some of the other theaters or places, Rockland Trust Bank Pavilion, they have 33 shows this summer alone. Mohegan Sun, 29. Xfinity Center, 28. TD Garden, 10. Plus four games in the Stanley Cup Final. So that's a big deal. Gillette Stadium, 5, including the Stones. Fenway has 4. North Carolina Red Sox baseball and The Who and Billy Joel September 13th and 14th, which I don't consider to be summer shows because I cut it off of Labor Day. And then you got the Mass Mutual Center 4 shows with the Aerosmith. So
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Lot to look forward to. And even if some of it is, maybe not to all of our taste. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in for this.
It's always a thrill.
All right. We'll be back in with more in a moment. But for right now, here's a song off the new album by Worcester area band Dodica.
Ooh, the bed they made. Ooh, the bed they made. The bed they made. Out demons,
mahogany bed you made. The opiates bed you made. Laying it, the bed you made. Mahogany bed you made. We buried it. My brother's lover, she wore dark veils, had smoky eyes, and these crimson nails that dug in deep and held on tight and made the bed where he'll spend all his nights. Ooh, the bed they made.
And we're back. You have been listening to Ecstasy at the End of Days by Dotica. You can read my review of the band's new album, Ghost Baby, in Thursday's Go section. And you can catch them Friday at Nick's as part of the It's Complicated CD release party, along with Tyra Penn, Savoir Faire, Tony Brown, and Steve Sabrizi. Now, I'm here with reporter Richard Duckett. Hi, Richard.
Hello there, sir.
And catch us up a little bit on what's going on in the movie world around here.
Well, there's movie news left, right, and center in terms of local screenings, local filmings, movies involving local people. The news is coming in thick and fast.
Indeed.
I think it reflects the fact that more people are able to make movies with advanced technology, and also perhaps the Massachusetts Film Tax Credit, of which I'll talk more about in a bit. But first of all, John Stimpson of Princeton, who's a very active filmmaker, his movie Ghostlight is about to be released on what they call multiple streaming platforms June 18th. And it's going to be also screened at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. Now, Ghostlight is a sort of dark comedy about a theater group that puts on what's known as Shakespeare's Scottish play. Now, there's all sorts of lore about whether or not you should say the title of the play in a theater.
I'm not even sure you should say it in a podcast booth, so thank you for your discussion.
Yeah, I think I'm going to avoid that, having seen this movie. An actor does commit the transgression of naming the play, in fact, boastfully yelling it out in the theater, and all sorts of bad things start happening to the company as a result. It's a very amusing film. It sort of affectionately makes fun of a theater group, and you can recognize some of the characters. And it has some fun and some scary moments with the Scottish play itself, which is rather a violent affair.
It is.
And it involves witches and cauldrons and all sorts of things.
And the moment right after Macduff's victory is usually very gripping scene.
Yes, right. Yeah, and we know what he's gripping too, you know. So
we're like trying to not spoil Macbeth. Sorry,
well, I think Now you've gone and done it. You've mentioned
done
it.
I've done it. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
But anyway, I would thoroughly recommend people getting to see that if they can, where they can. Now, another film that's coming out very shortly, I think July 12th, is Lying and Stealing. And it's a crime drama film with Theo James, Emila Ratajkowski. I think it's about an art thief who meets up with an actress who has quite a bit of debt. And the film is actually co-written and directed by Matt Hazelton, who's originally from Worcester. Oh. I cannot tell you much more about that because I have an interview upcoming with Matt, and so that will be an upcoming story as
Excellent.
Well.
Excellent. Looking forward to reading that.
But it's got some big names involved, and looks like it's going to be a big release. And so that's something to keep an eye out for. Now, Barbara Coppethorne is in the process of completing a documentary she's been working on for a number of years now. It's Toe the Line, and it's based on some years she spent following the dance program at Burncoats Senior High School here
Oh,
in
yeah.
Worcester. Covered Joan Sheary when she was the director of the program. Joan Sheary has since retired, and she followed the progress of some students who were going through that program. It is an excellent program, the dance program
Indeed.
There. And Joan Sheary sort of gave these students life lessons in addition to teaching them how to dance. And they have applied those life lessons into their real lives. And Barbara Coppethorne has been following them. She's got a GoFundMe campaign to try to help raise the money that's needed to finish off the production element. So it's been a long work in progress, but we'll be having an upcoming story about all that. And I think from what the footage I've seen, it'll be well worth the wait when it does come out.
And documentary work is so demanding in both time and effort and expense.
Yes, this has been going on for years, her engagement there. She started out just doing it as a short for a project when she was going to movie school, but she realized or felt that the subject matter, you know, was just too important to leave it as a short. So she spent a lot of time investing her energy and money in the project. So, and then looking around and about, I see that this 21st Roxbury International Film Festival, one of the films that's going to be shown is a short by Worcester filmmaker Angelique Webster.
Oh.
It's called Respect and Love. And you can be looking for a story about that upcoming as well. The festival itself runs from June 19th to June 29th.
Mm.
Recently, we had a short film festival here that included a film called Odd Men Out, and that was produced locally by Another Theory Productions, whose first effort was, you might remember, the That's E, which was set
Indeed.
A fictional film, but it was set at
That's Entertainment
That's
here
Entertainment
on Park Avenue.
On Park Avenue, right. So they've gone on. They've done a number of different projects now, and they have another short that's been made and will be coming out shortly, called Facing Life, that includes movie actress Anne Mahoney.
Oh.
And they're looking into a longer project with Anne Mahoney, and they're also making commercials. So that is all very good. But, and of course, we've had in Worcester recently, we've had some John Stimson was screening another film that was shooting, rather, another film that he's making. We've had Honest Thief being shot, and there was another movie being shot downtown as well. So,
with Ryan Reynolds and Jodie Comer.
Yeah, yeah, they included gunfire right on Franklin Street. So, and up in Orange, Castle Rock, the Hulu series has been filming again.
I know. So, I'm really excited. I don't know if we're going to be able to have them film in our building again this time. Last year when they did that, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. But, you know, how long is this going to last? Or could it be sunset looming? Because a lot of the films that are being made around here, the reason why they're being made is because of tax credit that's very complicated for me to understand the finances of it. But Massachusetts does have a tax credit initiative for filmmakers. Basically, it provides tax credits valued at roughly 25% of the expenses of the production. But that measure has what's known as a sunset. It's and it will expire in January of 2023 unless it gets extended indefinitely or forever by lawmakers. And it's up in the air whether or not everybody's quite on board with extending it. Governor Charlie Baker isn't such a big fan, and neither are some other lawmakers who see it as something that really doesn't help boost the economy very much when all is said and done, and ends up costing of state money. There were hearings about it just a day or so ago at the State House. So that's going to be a debate that's going to start to intensify because there are only a couple of years, 2 or 3 years left, and some movie companies might not want to even bother thinking about coming here if they know that this credit incentive is going to come to an end.
Mm-hmm. And that we've seen elsewhere in the country, that can actually end the production of a show entirely when those laws change. It's kind of dubious. But North Carolina, the show Swamp Thing, which is airing on the DC Universe streaming service, what appears it launched one day its pilot episode to great acclaim, great reviews, audience favorite. Before the second episode came out, the show had been canceled. Mm. They were just going to run the first season because they had already filmed it, and it turned out that it was canceled because it lost its tax credits. Now there's some dispute whether that's actually what happened or not, but that seems to be the case, that they lost $30 million in tax credits and decided the show was too expensive to shoot there anymore or to shoot at all. So yeah, it can have a huge effect on whether something happens or not. And they usually need to know well in advance. So
yeah, it's an interesting debate. I mean, there's always a lot of local interest when a movie is being shot around here.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, how much economic benefit is there really going on?
I think that's a good question, actually. I mean, you know, I know it does. They do employ people from here, but how many? How much? Definitely worth the cost. I don't know.
So we'll be keeping an eye on that as well.
All right. Does that about wrap us up then?
For the time being, it does.
Yes. All right. You have been listening to Worcester Culture Watch. For more, read our arts and entertainment coverage in the Worcester Telegram and Gazette and online at telegram.com. As always, our music was composed by DJ Manipulator. Thanks, and we'll be back next week.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.